We're fine, Gary's cold.
Yeah, I'm cold. Yeah. Well, you know, you show up in your Speedos, that's what to be expected.
Oh,
you know?
God. And hello, everyone. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Food Blog Radio. Gary, I hope you have a nice warm jacket.
I do have several, and beanies and earmuffs and gloves.
Awesome, because we are going to be talking to Laura Sampson of Little House Big Alaska.
Uh-huh, cha-ching.
And, yeah, and she blogs all about life in Alaska and with some recipes and other fun tidbits, travel and things like that. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, and growing her vegetables in a short Alaska season and doing a little farming with pigs, chickens, and goats and stuff, I think.
That's right. So yeah. We're going to learn all about it. I'm excited to see what life is like in Alaska.
Cool. Let's get her on.
All right. Let's do. Well, we landed safely and we're here. I'm all bundled up and excited to introduce everyone. Gary's a little cold, but you know what? You can handle it. Suck it up. It's going to be fine. We'll run around the farm and check it all out and see what's going on. Anyway, welcome. Hello, Laura. Laura from Little House Big Alaska is here with us today. How are you, Laura?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Very good.
We're fine. Chilly. Gary's cold.
Yeah, I'm cold. Yeah. Well, you know, you show up in your Speedos. That's what to be expected.
Oh,
you know?
The Speedo talk has started already. Oh my gosh.
We bring it back. Yeah. It's been a couple months since we've talked about my Speedos. I thought it was rather timely.
No.
Never.
Oh my gosh.
Bad news.
Never, you guys are just.
Especially in Alaska, you know?
Yeah. Wow. It's cold up here.
I like being a trendsetter. Well, Laura, welcome.
Anyway,
we're glad to have you on. And Sarah keeps digressing. Sorry about that.
It's not a problem. I'm all about digressing.
There we go. So
I wander off all the time.
We met in Sacramento just recently at IFBC.
Yes.
But you and Sarah go a little further back. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I initially started following Sarah on Instagram about a year and a half ago. When we were set to head off to Eat Right Retreat in Chicago, that was 2015. And there was the happiest, funniest, sweetest girl who did the greatest Instagram posts. And I was like, who is this? I have to know who this is.
I'm sorry,
and she never
Laura,
took a picture.
We're talking about Sarah. Please don't digress.
Hey, I was all feeling happy right now, and you just trampled it. Be quiet and let her talk. Go ahead, Laura. You were saying?
I couldn't get, there was no identifying picture, but she was having this great vacation, and I couldn't, by the time my turn came to get to Chicago, I couldn't wait to get to Chicago because of following her on Instagram. So I get there, and I'm like, who is this? Who? I'm looking around, and finally, I'm like, oh, Sarah. And then we just talked and visited. It was great. And Eat Right Retreat was wonderful. We've just kind of kept in touch, Facebook and Instagram, met back at IFBC, right? Yes, yeah. In Sacramento, which was hot. Oh my God, hot. I actually have never been in something that was 110 degrees. I mean,
it wasn't that hot.
It was
on Thursday. It was that hot.
Oh, you guys were there early. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought I was might not
miserable.
It was miserably hot. Yeah. Nobody told me it was, well, okay, a lot of people told me, but I chose to ignore them that it would be 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Surely no place on earth gets that bad.
We are actually used to it here in the valley. I live about an hour and a half away from there, so that's not uncommon. But if you're not used to it,
no.
Not a good thing.
Wow, it was it was quite an experience.
Yeah. Well, I bet it was. Well, that's pretty awesome that you were able to come down for that event and to know the wonderful, amazing, fabulously famous Sarah de Lelelu.
Oh my gosh.
Did I say that right?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, we're happy to have you here and we're very excited to talk about your blog and your blogging life because you have a very unique blog and you're in a very unique location and you're doing you know, some amazing stuff there. So I know Sarah would ask the same thing that I would ask, and that is, how did you get started in all this?
So I guess I got started, oh my gosh, I want to say 2008, but that could be a lie. It could be 2009. I don't remember. I had a brand new baby. I had a 2-year-old and I had a 13-year-old. And basically all I did was cook, eat, sleep, and feed people and get up and do it again. And I did a lot of laundry. And the 13-year-old would crash in through the door and, "What's for dinner, Mom?" And, "What's for dinner, Mom?" And then my 2-year-old would pick that up. And he would constantly say, "Hey, what's for dinner, Mom? What?" And I was just like, oh my God, I can't even get off the couch. I'm nursing, you know. I mean, it was a hard situation. I mean, it was really hard for a while. And after the youngest got to be about 2, I realized, you know, maybe I'm not the only one who struggles with figuring out what to make for dinner every night. So I just, and I'm not a good cook. I wasn't a good cook when I started. I've really grown in, you know, the ability to just slap stuff together and expect that people will eat it, and, you know, recipe development and all that stuff. Anyway, we can talk about that later. So I started Hey, What's for Dinner, Mom? And loved it, thought it was so much fun. And I just did it for fun. And out of the blue, I was asked to speak at Blog Her, God, I don't even know what number it was. Blog Her Food, we'll just call it that. And it was kind of the food, kids, food, and our food future. And I spoke with Diana, I think she was Diana Soar, and she did Eating Richly, which is like $2 a day meals or something like that. Mrs. Q, who did the Chicago food system in the schools. So she blogged anonymously meals that they were feeding in the school every day. Mrs. Q, who we had her there, but she was supposed to remain anonymous. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. And that kind of set me on a course to a little more food activism, which wasn't my original thrust. My original thrust was just kind of trying to answer that question that I knew all parents or all moms or whoever was home making dinner must have been asked repeatedly, and it must drive someone else nuts, because it drove me nuts. It drove me to tears. It made me want to have an answer. And I thought, boy, if I need an answer, there has to be someone else that needs an answer. And my husband had been saying, you know, I fancy myself a writer. I always have. I write stories. I write not poems, because I'm a terrible poet, but I write. I've always written. He told me, just start a blog. And I thought, no. And then I did. And I didn't tell him about it. And I didn't tell anyone about it. I just did it. And I did it on Blogger. And I did it really, really, you know, just the cheap, free, bad camera pictures, all that good stuff. I think we've all been there. And then I got the Blog Her Food invitation. And then I got the Blog Her invitation, which was a repeat of our panel the next year at the big blogger conference. And I felt at that point, I had Blog Her ads running on my site. And I felt like maybe I was being pushed down a road towards food activism, because I was advocating for healthy meals for kids. I wanted my kids to eat vegetables. I wanted other people's kids to eat real food. And that was sort of the gist. Like, yeah, you can buy a pizza, but did you know you could make one? You can buy chicken nuggets, but you can make them really cheap. You know, my husband didn't want me to go back to work just to pay for daycare, because we knew that if I went back to work, it would be daycare and meals out and quick food and, you know, all of these other things. And he basically said, you know, what you would earn in your job, we can save by just you being at home with our kids. And I want you home with our kids. So I kind of think of food blogging and this Hey, What's for Dinner, Mom? Is kind of saving my life. It gave me an outlet. It gave me a way to speak out to other moms, to talk about things that were bothering me, to share how I dealt with stuff. It really brought me out of probably maybe even a little of that postpartum depression and being so entrenched with kids, which I don't know, you guys may or may not have dealt with that, but it was, it's hard and it's real, but it kind of just gave me a way to reach out to the world. And recently, just in April, when I went to Eat Right Retreat again, I had this idea that I wanted to rebrand because I wanted to stretch out just beyond food. I didn't want to just talk about food. I wanted to do other things, projects. You know, we remodeled our 1935 farmhouse from, you know, down to bare studs and back to a real house again. And I wanted to talk about all that stuff. So I just had been kicking around this idea of a new name, and I threw it out to my husband. He was like, oh my God, that's horrible. I was crushed. And I was mortified that, you know, he thought I should stay with Hey, What's for Dinner, Mom? And he thought the name was stupid. And I went to Eat Right Retreat, and we kind of had this master session with Casey Benedict. I don't know if you guys know her, but you should truly interview her. She's fabulous, wonderful. She kind of wanted everyone to bring a problem to the table. So I brought this, I want to rebrand. My husband thinks I should stay with Hey, What's for Dinner, Mom? And so I finally tentatively threw out, you know, well, this is what I kind of want to rebrand as, Little House, Big Alaska. And the gasp in the room was my certification that that was a great name. I mean, it was like, and everybody said, you need to immediately buy that domain and you need to secure your social media handles and you need to do it. And so I came home and started and worked, unfortunately, most of the summer getting the rebrand done. I feel like I haven't quite rebounded like I wanted to, but I feel so much better because it's my own thing. It's what I'm making it. It's not what other people's expectations of what I'm doing are, if that makes sense. Like with Blog Her Food, I felt like they wanted me to be a food activist, which I'm willing to do, but I didn't want to lose myself. And I didn't want to become an elitist. Like, oh, you eat Pop-Tarts? Who would eat Pop-Tarts? That's so disgusting. Didn't you know you could spend 6 hours and make your own Pop-Tarts? I mean, I just didn't want to be that kind of person, because to me, that's a turnoff. If you can eat Pop-Tarts and you like them, then eat them. But if you want to make your own, this is a great way to do it. So it's a really hard balance there. But anyway, I'm digressing, as I told you I would. I like to talk. So anyway, yes, Little House Big Alaska is my new name and I love it. I'm free to do whatever I want. I do food. I do DIY. I do lots of stuff. I garden. I have chickens. I have that life.
And we were talking about that a little bit in during our intro, that we would love to hear about how you manage that in such a short growing season. Now tell everybody, they know that you're in Alaska, but without giving away too much, you know, like, where are you and how long is your growing season? What kind of challenges does that present for you?
We are about 40 miles north of Anchorage in what I fondly refer to as the veggie basket of Alaska. It is a glacial valley that is basically situated between two glaciers, and there are two massive rivers that come together, and we're sort of the confluence of those rivers. And our soil is rich. It's beautiful. Our long, 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 did I say long summer days are really spectacular. So we have these 20-hour days, sunlight, 20 hours. And then we have these short, crisp nights, and the growing season is short, but it is also spectacular. So we get 90 days frost-free weather. So we have like Memorial Day to Labor Day, and anything beyond that is, you know, you could put something in April, but it will be frosted and you'll probably lose it. So everything has to kind of be centered around that 90-day growing period.
Well, what can you grow?
This year I grew a blog redesign, but we have a lot of potato farmers, and we have a lot of carrots and cabbages, sort of those cold weather,
right,
possibly grown in short growing seasons, you know, kind of a boreal crop, I guess you might say. There are barley farms that are about 400 miles north of us up in Big Delta. They also grow wheat. Home gardeners are much more experimental. We try everything. I mean, people will always try watermelon, pumpkin, onions, snow peas, corn. You can extend the growing season, you know, in multiple ways. Greenhouses, you know, cold frames, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of ways to expand that growing season. I would say that we can grow just about everything you guys can. And the big failures that I've had have been like soybeans, can't grow those. I don't know why I wanted to, but I thought it would be fun. I have not gotten a successful watermelon. I have not been successful with eggplant. Those are my three big failures, and everything else is sort of up for grabs.
Let me go back because as you were talking about the farming part, my mind kept wandering to this transition of the blog on, you know, Mommy, What's for Dinner to what you have now. And you completely redid the blog and renamed it and redirected everything.
I did.
To that?
I did not.
Right. I understand. So has there been any, because people may be thinking about this themselves, has there been any negatives to that as far as traffic or opportunities or anything?
Traffic way down. But I'm okay with that because I feel like I'm doing what I want to do. Opportunities, because we're going to be traveling in a couple of weeks, I haven't actually taken any opportunities that have come my way. And yes, opportunities are down as well. Because I think some food brands want a dedicated food blogger, and I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with doing what I want to do, and maybe I don't make as much money, and I'm fine with that. I don't make a lot of money, and I know that that's always a big question. You know, like, how do you make money? Well, you know, ad revenue and this, that, and the other. But what I've really found is that as I've grown my social media numbers, and they aren't great because I have a, you know, I have a family and I have a farm and I have all this other stuff to do, a small farm, just a couple acres. I don't put a lot of pressure on myself to keep up with Facebook and Pinterest. I mean, I definitely participate in those things, but I'm not a whiz at social media. But I have been able to step outside of my brand and actually put what I know to work for other people, kind of leveraging my experience and showing other people how to set up their stuff. And then I make money, you know, helping or I don't know the term for that, consulting, I guess, with other companies. Like, this is how you can do this, and I'll do it for 2 months and then you take it over. So that's been another thing I've done that actually I really enjoy that kind of work. It's fun. I guess I don't feel a lot of pressure to perform really well because what I'm doing is promoting their stuff, not my stuff. So it's on them to create great content and I help them get it out and initially get that setup going. I've done that a lot this summer because I haven't had a lot of opportunities with Little House Big Alaska.
If someone were listening and interested in rebranding and things, are there any big lessons that you had along the way that you would suggest to someone, you know, yes, do this, or, oh my gosh, definitely do not do this?
I would say hire someone to do it. Definitely. I mean, unless you have a burning desire to get really into WordPress and really into building your own site, hire somebody. There are things that my designer did that I have no idea how she did it. Now, luckily, my husband is the webmaster for the local borough, and I can say, whoa, what is that? And he can figure it out. And I've learned to, you know, like Google WordPress problems. I was a Blogger user because it was free and it was easy. And honestly, Blogger is so easy and WordPress is just not. But, you know, it's supposed to be better. Great. I'll slog through that. So definitely I would do your name research and I would ask people, what do you think? And don't just go off what your husband says or your spouse says, and really try to think long term if you're going to rebrand with a new name. I guess what I would say is if anybody's thinking of starting a blog, is to actually think about what name you want and what name you might want in 10 years. Because there is nothing worse than realizing that in 10 years, you know, you may not have kids at home and, you know, mommy in diapers or mommy with diapers and stilettos or whatever, you know, is not going to be what your gist is in 10 years. So try to really broaden your scope and look at what's coming later, if that makes any sense.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, totally. Tip. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
So, and I think the other thing I did was really do a lot of research on your social media as well. Like, are there other big accounts that are close to yours? Are there people that you're going to step on their toes? Are there people that, you know, are going to come after you because you're very close to their name? Luckily, there aren't that many bloggers in Alaska, and I don't know there are that many with even Alaska in the name. So I felt really safe with that. So, and make sure it'll fit in your Twitter handle. That was my only fail, was I did all the research, but it didn't fit in those. I don't know if they give you like 20 letters or whatever it is, but I didn't fit. So I had to scrunch it a little bit.
Well, I think your name gives you a lot more flexibility.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So, and that's key there. I mean, not only what's going to happen 10 years down the road, but offer you the window of flexibility for what you may want to do, which may not have anything to do with cooking in 5 years. It may only do with travel, or may only do with gardening or whatever. Yeah. As your interest change and flux.
Yeah, right. I only know one other Alaskan blogger, so you probably have a nice little, you know.
We have we have a fun Facebook group. There's like maybe 100 of us, and a lot of us just do it for fun, and that's great. I love reading those; they're a lot of fun, and they're inspiring. Like, oh yeah, I should probably get off my butt and get out in the garden, go clean my chicken coop or whatever. The one thing I did get from everyone at the Eat Right Retreat conference that I was at was that you should buy this rebranding book. And I don't remember the name, but it was just an ebook and it was $15 or $20. And it was a wonderful resource. I mean, it told you, you know, it gave you a countdown from the minute you start to, you know, what to research, what to look at, what to do. And then it gave you a thing to do on the day you go live. So it was a wonderful resource. I wish I could remember the name of it. Maybe I can email it to you and you guys can slip it in or something. But it was a really great resource and well worth the money I spent. I'd actually never bought an ebook before, but it was a fabulous resource.
Yeah, great tip. Yeah, we'd like that. If you have, we can put that in the show notes. So that'd be great.
Perfect. It was great.
So I'm curious, now that you've branched out from just food blogging to these other areas of crafts and life and such, you said your social media is not that strong because you don't have a lot of time, but what opportunities, no, not opportunities, what directions can you go to broaden your reach, if that makes sense? I mean, is there a specific way to publicize your crafts? Is there a specific way to publicize your gardening? Have you branched in that direction, or is it all still food targeted?
I have started. I guess the hard thing is that having a food following for so long where I only tweeted or shared about food, you know, because that's what I wrote about, it's what I shared about. So all of those people now are like, what is this? She's doing, you know, she's painting trim on her Instagram feed, or, you know, just, it's just different. So I think I lost followers that were only interested in food, but I have actually, gosh, tripled my Instagram following just this summer, you know, where I'd get like 3 likes on a picture. Now I'm getting 100 likes on a picture, and the followers that I have are fantastic, but that's a lot more hashtag research when I have the time. Or, okay, here's the big thing. For Instagram, I switched to an iPhone. I had a Nokia, and none of the apps work. I basically told my husband, I'm like, look, I know I said I'd keep this phone for the next 700 years because it costs so much money, but none of the apps work and I need a different phone. And then I conveniently crushed it somehow and it didn't work anymore.
Whoops.
And I cut my finger on the broken glass and, you know, he was like, fine, just go get the new phone. Instagram on iPhone is like life changing. I was like, what is this autofill hashtag? You know, you start to type Alaska and it gives you the top hashtags for Alaska. It's like, what is this? And I think that happened. I got the new phone in April. I rebranded June 21st, stupidest day ever in Alaska to launch a rebrand.
It's the longest day of the year.
It was the longest day of my life. But so that, I think, just with Instagram and branching out, you know, Alaska DIY. Well, actually, I don't think I've used that hashtag before. But, you know, when I'm doing these different posts, it's a great way to find hashtags. So that has been great. Facebook. I am not pleased with Facebook lately.
I don't think anybody is unless they're spending a lot of money.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I just don't, you know, the whole verified thing has come out. And if you're, you know, you have to get the handshake of approval or whatever. I don't even know. I'm just like, God, Facebook, please just go away. And I think that has held me back in looking for sponsored opportunities as well. It's like, I'm not verified on Facebook. And will I even qualify? And I haven't gone down that road because just I'm busy right now. Maybe winter, I'll deal with it. Anyway, I think I answered the question, but I don't remember. I kind of went off on it.
No, you did. Yeah. You know, I know there's things like Make and there's gardening, you know, groups, and there's all these different things that you could target when you're doing your social media. And I would think that from my perspective, you're quadrupling your social media efforts at this point. You know, I'm trying to do the travel and the food blogging. And so I know my efforts are doubled. And I was just wondering if yours have even increased even more, and how do you manage and juggle that? But, you know, you answered that question, I think, very well. It is a lot of work, and you just take advantage of what you have, and you're going to win some and you're going to lose some, and add to it from there.
I think it also has to do, and this is something I think I pulled out of IFBC, is making connections with other bloggers, making those connections where those people want to share what you are sharing. And if you don't have that, you got nothing, really. So that's been really great for me because I keep meeting these great bloggers. I'm like, oh my God, this is great content. And eventually they reciprocate, and it's wonderful when they do. And it's wonderful when they don't. I'm totally fine with sharing great content because it always, it just feels good. And I want other people like me to succeed. And eventually they're going to pay me back in some way. And they may not even know that I'm sharing their stuff to start with. And that's fine. I don't mind. I love doing that kind of stuff. So I think that is one of the lessons I learned at IFBC was to find the people that you really enjoy their content and share it and create that tribe.
That's so important. I really think that, you know, being able to share other people's things and, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, right? So, you know, the more you share and spread that goodwill, then people reciprocate, and that's beneficial for all of us.
So, Laura, you mentioned the diapers and high heels concept earlier.
Yes.
But there's, and you also mentioned the fact that there's a lot of people out there trying to put decent, respectable meals on the table without pushing the microwave button. So what advice or what tips do you have or can you share with people in your situation with multiple age kids and so many things to do that want to start a blog and kind of emulate what you're doing? What advice would you have for them starting out?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think about this a lot. And then, of course, you ask me and I'm like, I don't know. But I think one of the best tips I read, of course, I haven't implemented this, but was to come up with a list of post ideas and literally go through them and pre-write stuff so that you have a month's worth of content. So you're ready to go live. You know, maybe you don't maybe you're not a great photographer, but there are plenty of cheat cards you can pull up and learn how to use a camera, even if it's just a point and shoot, or you want to just do iPhone photos, whatever, just learn how to use your camera. Do not look at my blog for examples. I told you I haven't implemented all of these. Really build a network of people that you know, people that you enjoy reading their content, and be ready to give as good as you get. And always, I think, take the high road whenever you're online. If somebody's a jerk, they can be a jerk. Doesn't mean you have to go to their level. And I don't think I understood that 6 years ago. I don't think I understood that, I think, until I started talking to my youngest sons about internet behavior and how you don't have to go to that level. I'm not saying I ever did anything with my old blog that I thought was, you know, nasty or mean. I don't think I did. Or if I did, I wrote it and then I took it right down, because good Lord, that would be a terrible way to present yourself. I didn't think about online communities in the same way, but your reputation is what you put out to the world. And I think it kind of came up in a weird way, because my son, my youngest, is 11, oh dear. And he has been doing Lego robotics, really into Lego robotics, super brilliant kid. And so my husband and I have started letting him build on the Lego creation site. And he wants to go check what everybody said about him, what everybody said, and somebody said something mean. And his brother was helping him. And he never does that without one of us there with him. I mean, we do not let them just get online. That's a whole, I mean, we could talk for like hours about how the borough webmaster doesn't let his kids online. You know, we were sitting with him and his brother was helping him craft this nasty reply. And I had to explain that you don't need to go to that level. You need to take the upper road. If somebody's a jerk, you probably took it wrong. If somebody's a jerk, maybe they're having a bad day. If somebody's a jerk, smile and wave. If somebody's a jerk, reach out with help. There's no reason to bog yourself down in the nasty. And I think that would be my like number one takeaway, is always try to be better than what you even are in real life, because you don't want that reputation to be following you. So did that make any sense?
Yeah, solid advice.
You talked a little bit about building your tribe and connecting with people who, you know, share the same things, philosophies, content, and, you know, really looking for great people to do that with. How often do you get a chance to escape from your little house in Big Alaska and travel to different conventions? I know you've mentioned a few. Mm-hmm. During the year, is there a set, you know, number you like to try and hit each year? How do you go about building your tribe?
Well, as many as I can afford. Usually, actually, for the last 4 or 5 years, I actually hadn't gone to anything. And then Casey from Eat Right Retreat, she's just so wonderful. She, you know, has done this wonderful, my gosh, this retreat. And I just finally was like, I'm doing this. I got to go. I can't not go. And I went. It was fabulous. And I thought, why have I been hiding in Alaska all these years? Well, I did, because I started a Waldorf charter school, and that takes a lot of time and energy to start a school. So that was my reason, was like, I was busy, but now it's up and it's running and it's fabulous. So it was time to kind of step outside of that part of my life and come around to more conventions, more conferences, dear God. I think I want to try to hit one a year. I would love to do more, but it's a lot. It's really expensive to get out. You know, a ticket is $600 to $800 to get to just the West Coast. So, I mean, you can find, of course, better deals, but average $600 to $800 to get, just to get there. So,
yeah, very expensive. Yeah, then you have the hotel, then you have the conference fee, then you have your food.
Right.
And entertainment, and you always want to stay a day or two. No, I totally understand that. I think I'm in the same boat, where I'm just going to do one, maybe two a year.
Yeah, but you guys have so many choices, don't
we? Well, we do. But even still, I mean, you know, we went to IFBC and I drove, and it was still, in my mind, you know, expensive.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah, and no, hot.
Yeah, and not trying to diminish IFBC in any way. It's just that everything is cumulative and it all adds up to where at the end, you know, well, you know, I probably could have spent a weekend in Hong Kong for the price that I, you know, did with that. Yeah, and so
I could have hit Hawaii for a week.
Yeah,
for
what yeah, I spent. Exactly. So yeah, it adds up.
And I guess I wasn't shocked. I hadn't been to IFBC before. I wasn't really shocked, but I was just like, so I'm supposed to leave and go buy my own food? Am I not at a food conference? That was kind of interesting for me. It did force me out to some local restaurants, and that was fun. But at the same time, I felt like the time was really chopped up, and I wanted to just blow through. So that was an interesting concept.
Well, they might be having transition pains at this point. We'll see. Right. Who knows what next year will turn out to be.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'll make it next year. We'll see.
Yeah, not sure.
I mean, I could be really broke next year.
Yeah, well, we all probably will, the way things are going.
That's true.
And I hate to conclude with that doom and gloom thought, but Laura, we are a wee bit over our podcast
length. Oh my gosh.
And that's okay. You are well worth the expenditure. But before we say goodbye, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
I am at littlehousebigalaska.com, and I am Little House Big Alaska across all social media channels.
Okay.
So that would be Twitter, which, I mean, if you just type in Little House Big Alaska, it comes up, but it's spelled a little bit funny. Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook are all the same, and I don't do anything else. Okay. There's just so many things that you have time for, so I limit.
That's true. All right.
Well, it's been great, Laura. Thank you very much. Sorry to overrun you there. Sarah, let's do that again. Why don't you do it? Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, my goodbye. God. Here we go again. I've been trying to train her. So it's so difficult.
It is. I'm a difficult person.
I wasn't going to say that. Mm-hmm. And then I interrupt. Okay.
Yeah, see? No one wants to hear me talk. This is why I'm just going to be quiet now. Okay. I'll just mute. My microphone.
Fine. 1, 2, 3.
Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. We had a great time chatting with you and sharing about Alaska and learning about the longest day of the year and rebranding and everything that you shared with us. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I think I talked too much.
No, not at all, Laura. It was great. You had some really solid advice and great tips there. Really appreciate that. And I know our listeners will appreciate it as well and wish you the best of luck in this transition in your upcoming vacation.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to fun. Now, will you be posting on Instagram? Yes. Pictures of Europe, maybe?
I will, probably.
All right. Awesome.
Yes, I will. I will because I actually got some sponsors for some of the stuff in Europe. So I have this on Instagram.
Well, there's a podcast in itself.
That's right.
Actually,
go ahead.
No, stop interrupting you, Sarah. It's so rude.
My mama didn't raise me right.
So I was going to say, maybe we should do a podcast when Laura gets back to talk about the travel aspect of her blogging. And working in that respect where you have some sponsored content and such that you're going to be doing. So that, of course, that may only fascinate me. So it might be just you and me chatting, Laura. But
okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to go and it was wonderful, as Sarah said, and we will talk to you again soon.
Yay. Sounds like fun. Thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, Laura was fascinating. I love what she's doing and what she has done. I think that's really, really cool, especially right in North U.S.
Exactly. Yeah. She's had some fabulous tips on rebranding and how to go about following your heart. And I think that's great. I think everybody needs to really do that. And in the long term, she's going to have a lot more opportunities and areas to expand. So it's awesome for her.
Yep, I think so. Can't wait to follow up with her later on after her vacation, too. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So it's time to get out of here and wrap things up because we're going to be recording some other interviews here pretty soon.
That's right.
And that is all for me other than Sarah. Where can they find us?
All right. Awesome. Well, of course, everyone can find us at foodblogradio.com. We are also online at Twitter and Facebook at foodblogradio.com. If you have complaints or wish to say anything negative, please
Sarah
write to
at Foodblog Radio.
See how he cuts me off all the time. Gary at foodblogradio.com. Or obviously Sarah at foodblogradio.com. Reach out to either one of us. We'd love to hear from you. You can listen to our podcast at our website. We are also on Stitcher and
iTunes.
You know all those names. iTunes. Still looking for iHeartRadio.
Yeah. Still waiting for that to happen. So
still waiting for great sponsors. Anybody that wants to, you know, toss us some sponsorage would be awesome.
Very cool. All right, my dear. Until next time.
Yes, I look forward to talking to you again soon. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Be good to your heart.